Well, good morning. So good to see each and every one of you. I was thinking, it's something for us to remember, maybe reiterating for all of us, because I wouldn't be surprised if we thought about this. There's been two world wars, there's been pandemics around the world, there's been challenges, and there's been generation to generation that worries about the generation that's going to come, and all that happens. What we need to remember is that God has designed us and placed us in the generation he wants us to be in. Now, having said that, we're called to be God's people. And we started last week by focusing on what is your number one top priority in life. I mean, out of everything in life, what is your number one top priority in life? And as believers, our top priority ought to be Jesus in our life, living for him, doing his will, following him, being the people that he wants us to be. It's not our family should be our top priority. It's not money, wealth, status, or anything like that. It should be just simply our relationship with Christ and our being in his will, living our lives for him. That should be our top priority. And so I encourage everybody to honestly assess for themselves, what is your top priority in life? Is God your everything? And he ought to be. Having said that, we're going to look at how we can be everything that God wants us to be in him. Okay, a little reversal there. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each person here. I ask, Father, please, that you will feed us spiritually, encourage us spiritually, open our eyes and ears and hearts spiritually. Let us know that as we've come into this place that's dedicated to you, that we as believers in Christ, Father, will meet with you and that you will meet with us, that we will know that we've been in the house of the Lord, not because of its location or its name, but because of your presence. And I ask, Father, that you bless your word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, so the title of the message today is Divine Light for the New Man. Divine light for the new man. In order for us to live the life that God wants us to live, if he is our everything, if he's our number one, if he's our top priority, and he ought to be for us as believers in Christ, then what we need to do is put off the old man and put on the new man. Now, many of us are familiar with that passage of scripture that talks about that. We're going to be looking at it in Ephesians chapter 4. But here's a question, because I asked myself this as I was thinking about this message. Can you clearly identify the old man in you as opposed to the new man in you? Can you identify your old sinful nature and who you are and the core of yourself outside of Christ? And can you identify the new man that God wants you to be in Christ? We should be able to have a distinctive, recognizable way that each one of us sees that. And when we have spiritual warfare in our lives, we know when we're yielding to our flesh as opposed to yielding to the Spirit of God. Sometimes it's very clear, very prevalent. Other times it's just, you know, you're not even thinking about it and you slip and you sin, whatever, right? But God wants us to be aware of the old man, the old woman, the old person that we used to be, because we've been made a new creation in Christ Jesus. And that new creation cannot be realized in our life the way God intends for us to realize unless we are willing to die to the old self, our old ways, ways that are not pleasing to God, and choose to live our new life in Christ. That's imperative for us to be able to not only identify the old man and the new man, but it's imperative for us to do this so that we can learn the way that God has for us to go, the direction and the purpose he has for our life. So let me ask you two questions. How would you rate your life? G-rated, godly, or R-rated, raunchy? Now that's quite extreme on the pendulum, isn't it? But really we need to be able to look at that not as a joke or a cute little thing to ask, that type of thing, but we need to look at ourselves with all honesty and look in our heart and say, how godly are our hearts, our intentions, how godly is our relationship with Christ? Now that might be counterintuitive. We can't not be godly and have a relationship with Christ. I want us to think about the distinctiveness of our old man and our new man, how we live our lives now in all honesty. Like last week, and the message is God, you're everything. It's something that we know the answer should be, and can spontaneously come out and say, God is my everything. But when we look at ourselves and assess for ourselves the reality of that as to, is God my everything? That takes honest, clear reflection on our own lives. And so as we look at our lives and say, am I living a life that is godly, that's pleasing to the Lord? Is my heart right with God? Is it where God wants my heart to be? Or am I living in a way now that is raunchy to God? Now, when I say raunchy to God, is anything that's not pleasing to God is offensive to God. And we all have done things that are offensive to God because we all sin. We have a sinful nature. That's just the way it is in our lives. And God knows that. And God is merciful. And God is gracious. And he's forgiving. And he's kind. And his love is never ending. We know all of that. And we praise God for that. But we still need to be honest with ourselves, not only before God, but before ourselves, on where we are spiritually in our relationship with Jesus. Is he our everything? Is he our top priority? And in so, are we willing, or is that evident by our willingness to be willing to let go of the old man, the sinful man that we know that we are, and embrace the new man that we should be in Christ? He's already made us a new creation when we receive Jesus as our Savior. What's interesting to me about that is that we have to discover what that new creation is in Christ Jesus. Isn't that weird? He's already made us a new creation. That happened when we received Christ. But to find out who he made us to be requires us letting go of the old man, the things that we know that are not God's ways in our life, and embracing the new things that God reveals to us that God wants in our lives. Identifying what God says that we shouldn't be embracing, because it's deceitfulness and it's lying in of itself. That any type of sin or lure away from God works by saying it's a good thing that will please us, but in the end it'll bring destruction. But if we embrace the things that God has for us, we'll realize greater things that God has for our lives that we never thought were even possible. And so we can praise God for that. So we need to train ourselves to recognize the difference between our old man and our new man in Christ. Can you do that? Can you identify? We can identify the Spirit of God living in our heart. We've mentioned that several times as believers in Christ. We know the Spirit of God lives in us, that we're living temples of God, and that he is in us, and that he makes that distinctive spiritual identification in our lives, saying, I'm here with you, I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. But can we clearly identify the distinctiveness of our old man, and having to look at that and contend with that and say, I'm going to die to that, and then look at our new man and say, wow, I wonder what God wants to reveal to me to make me the man, the woman, the person that God wants me to be. So, how? Here's a question. How do we put on the new man? What is the practical application of putting on the new man? Because really, there in our own minds, the only way to really, in my mind, thinking about putting on the new man is just simply saying, I'm not going to yield to the old man. I'm going to yield to Christ. Right? That way. But there are some things here I want us to focus on. Things that the Apostle Paul had brought out to us in Ephesians chapter 4 that we can focus on that will help us to die to ourselves, the old man, and live to the new man, the new person that we already are in Christ Jesus. So in Ephesians 4, 17 through 21. Ephesians 4, 17 through 21. Now, the first thing that we need to do to help us to put off the old man and to put on the new man is this. We need to recognize what our character is. What is character? Character is the identification of our conduct, of who we are. In other words, a name used to be very significant because a name would reflect the character of the person. And it's weird that sometimes when babies are born, that the Holy Spirit will lay on our heart, this is the name I want you to name this baby. And as we learn the name of that baby, we see some of those characteristics in that baby. I've seen that happen in our own children and with others as well. So we need to focus on our character, who we are. So In Ephesians 4:17, I'm going to read Ephesians 4:17 through 21. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, that's character, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God and true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth to his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, do not sin, do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. We're not to give place to the devil. And that's what happens when we are looking at our sinful nature, our old man, we're giving place to the devil. The devil has simply set in front of us, here's something that's tantalizing. Here's something that looks appealing. Here's something that will satisfy this need and will be fun. And Jesus even said that sin is pleasurable. Sin is fun, but the end is death. Sin doesn't bring forth life, and life is the fullness of God in us. Sin brings forth death or destruction. It doesn't end well when we choose to do the things that Satan wants us to do as opposing to what God wants us to do. So I love the opportunity that we have here to grab hold of that which God has made us already in him and to discover what that is. And that seems odd. We would think that God would already make us what we are in him, and then we would simply live it. But we can't be all that God, we can't realize what God has made us already unless we follow him and discover who he is in our lives and how we live for him. So look at Ephesians 4:17. What do our character traits reveal about us? This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. So we need to understand that there is a distinction between the way of the world and the way of God. There is a distinctiveness that is black and white, that is in direct opposition, that the worldly ways, the worldly philosophies, these types of things do not match up with the truth that's everlasting of God. The everlasting truth of God is there, and it never changes. And what the world teaches and its philosophies will never match up to the truth of Jesus Christ. And so we have to make a decision in our own heart and our life to say, if I'm going to allow Jesus to be my number one everything in my life, if that's what I want, and if it requires me putting away the old man and putting on the new man, it means I'm not going to embrace the ways that the world teaches me. I'm going to embrace the ways that God teaches me. I'm not going to embrace what my sinful nature desires. I'm going to embrace what the Spirit of God who dwells in me is leading me to do. I'm going to be the person that God has called me to be, because the deceitfulness of sin leads to destruction, but the righteousness of God leads to life. And that life is the fullness that God wants us to have. That's part of being that new man, that we know the fullness of God in our lives that brings this overflowing joy in him. And that joy doesn't always exemplify itself in external expression. But that joy is that which we have that assurance and that comfort and that realization that God is alive and loves me no matter what, and he's in my heart because of our faith in Jesus, his son. So praise God for that. So then, good character desires godly wisdom. Verse 18, having that their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. We're looking at the negative side, the opposite of what we should be doing. Good character desires godly wisdom. But in verse 18, the world, when we embrace the ways of the world and reject the truth of God's word, then we have our understanding darkened. In other words, the truth of God becomes very obscure to us. It doesn't become it's not in front of us. It's something that we even grow to even ignore and not consider and even doubt the truth of God's word. But God's word is everlasting and will never fail and is never changing. And so when we choose to follow our flesh and our sinful nature and the way of the world instead of the Spirit of God that lives in us and the way that God has us to live our lives, then what happens is that we allow ourselves to become less spiritually focused. For the non-believer, they can't be spiritually focused. A person that's never received Christ as their Savior doesn't have the Spirit of God to reveal to them truth. The only thing that's going to be revealed to them is the gospel. And then their decision whether to receive or to reject him. So the world has their understanding darkened. I don't want my understanding of God darkened. Okay? I don't want to be living in the dark, if you will. Being alienated from the life of God. As a believer, I do not want to be alienated from the presence and the power and the person of Jesus Christ in my life. Even though he's promised, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, it is also true that people choose, Christians choose to forsake him. Right? Isn't that a sad thing? Christians choose to walk away from God. Christians choose that, and then they embrace the ways of the world and not the things of God, and they're robbed of the life that God has for them. It says being alienated from the life of God. I mean, what greater life can we have than a life that's right with God, and we have the fullness of God in us, meaning that God reveals his purpose and himself and his thoughts and his understanding and his knowledge, that we can live in a way that is in accordance to the way God not only wants us to live, but the way God thinks, okay? Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of their blindness of their heart, the decision was made in their own character not to seek the wisdom of God. So when we focus on our character, to put off the old man, to put on the new man, we must be honest with who we are, what our character truly is. What traits do we have? Do our traits honor God or dishonor him? And then we need to also know whether we are intentionally seeking the wisdom of God through his word, but also the Spirit of God teaches us truth. And the Spirit of God never contradicts the word, and the word of God never contradicts the Spirit. The next thing under focusing on our character is bad character results from a seared heart against God. Verse 19. Do we know what a seared heart is? It's kind of like burning your fingertips on something very hot. I mean, you grab a pan out of the oven and you forgot the mitt, or your fingers are you know, not on the hot pad but overextending, and you touch the pan and you burn your fingers really badly, and then you try to cool them off, you know, that burning sensation and all that stuff, and what do? Running under cold water, so forth and whatnot. But the end result is you see this kind of grayed, white, glazed over imprint on your fingers. That's what searing is. So when we are searing our heart, we're becoming insensitive to the ways of God. And we're embracing the things that we shouldn't do. So in verse 19, it says, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness and God and greediness, or with greediness. Okay, let's read that again. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. What happens? What happens when we turn a deaf ear to God and choose to live by our own flesh, choose to live by our own wantonness, our own desires for the things that we think will satisfy us in lives, but in the end result bring trouble and despair and pain and destruction in our lives. When we want when we've been deceived to the point that we think lewdness, pervertedness, these types of things are more valuable and more fulfilling in life, so much so that we reach for them and seek them out to fill our lives with someone who's so greedy that it can't be fulfilled. You know what I'm saying? I want more and more and more and more and more of that because that's what makes me happy. But lewdness, perverseness, things that dishonor God, the lack of godly wisdom, these things do not encourage us to put on the new man. They push the new man away, they turn a deaf ear to God, and then we embrace the old sinful man, and we become uglier and uglier, only to know that in the end result, we made a huge mistake by not following Jesus as our Savior. But you have not so learned Christ, okay? You have not, in verse 20, you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. We know our convictions. We know what God says. God speaks to our hearts. The ways of God build good character in our lives. When we're willing to be taught by God, when you're willing to say, Lord, I'm going to take 5 minutes this morning to read one chapter out of your Bible. And before you do that, you pray and you ask God. You say, God, will you please touch my heart with something you have for me to receive from you today? Because I want to be fed spiritually. I don't want to be refreshed spiritually. I want to learn of you, and I know that your spirit is what reveals truth to me. I want that experience with you. If we just take the time to open up our Bible, crack open the Bible, and read it for 5 minutes a day with a heart that says, God, I want to hear from you, you will be blessed. That's part of building our character in Christ, because we're learning the ways of Christ. We're choosing to listen to God. We're not turning a deaf ear to him. We are saying, God, I want to know you. You already know me. I want to know you. And we learn his ways. And so the first thing that we need to do in putting off the old man and holding on to the new man is to focus on our character. And let me restate this. What are the traits in our lives that reveal our character? Does it honor God? Good character desires godly wisdom. Do we desire the wisdom of God? Do we desire the truth of God? Bad character results from a seared heart against God. The further away you get from God, the more you are willing to do those things that are greater an offense to God. And the ways of God the ways of God build good character in our lives. So if we know that we made the decision to learn the truth of God and to apply it to our life, what's the outcome of that? Our character is going to change from the old sinful ways of nature to a way that is reflecting the character of Jesus in our life. And that can only bring good and blessing in our lives. After all, isn't that what God intends for us to be? Children of light and salt in the world for him. But we can only be salt and light and children of God by following him, dying to ourselves, and seeking him and what he has for us. So the first thing we need to focus on to let go of the old man and hold the new man is our character. Make sure our character, our intentions of our heart are right with God. The second thing is we're to look at and evaluate our conduct. It's easy to say, oh, I love Jesus. It's another thing for our conduct to reflect our love for Jesus. And the authenticity of our heart, people sense and can see, and then we can know when we're playing the game and we're being hypocritical, and we can know when we are sincere and following Jesus. And I want people to see in you and I the sincerity of a genuine heart before Jesus that says, I'm going to live for you because you're my everything. I want to live in the character that you have made me to be, in the new creation you've made me to be in you. I don't know. I can't emphasize I can't express clearly. That's not the word, but that's as close as I'm going to get. How exciting it is to me, and I hope to you as well, to think that there's the new man that we can know who we are in Christ. It's like a treasure chest. What's the new man? What's the new character? What is it that God has made me uniquely into? It's not saying that we're all made into the same. We're all unique, peculiar. We know we're peculiar, but you know, we are unique. That's what the word peculiar means. Unique, one of a kind. No one else made for us. God made you and I uniquely one of a kind in Him, and He wants to develop us to reflect Him and His character, but He wants us also to embrace the person that God made us to be, that new person that He wants us to be in Christ Jesus. So let's look at our conduct in Ephesians 4, 22 through 28. Ephesians 4, 22 through 28. We're back up here. Let's see. That you put off concerning your former conduct. That's the decision. I'm not going to live for myself. I'm not going to live the way the world says to live when I know it's contradicted to God's ways and His word. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt, not just is corrupt, but grows corrupt, becomes more and more corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. The lying manipulation of the arch enemy against God is Lucifer himself, otherwise known to us as Satan, who tries to convince us that the going against God will be the most fulfilling thing you can have in your life. And so the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in the true righteousness and holiness. So let's go back and we'll look at that. Our conduct reflects our genuineness of character in Christ, right? Character reflects who we are from the heart. Our conduct validates that. It's not enough to cease to do evil. Listen to this. It's not enough to say to God, okay, I won't do that. Not enough. But we must learn to do good. That's where we're learning the teachings of Christ, the working of Christ in our life. I know what I shouldn't do. I haven't done it. Isn't that good, God? Yeah, that's good, but I have something more for you. Learn from me. Walk with me, live for me, know me. Be in me and let me live through you. And I want you to experience the wonderful power of me living through you. Olin was saying up here, he said, when we're in the presence of God, that the Holy Spirit presence, that there's, I forget the exact wording you said, but there's nothing like being in that presence of God. See, that's learning about God. That's learning about who He is. We must know the difference between our old man in the flesh and the new man in the spirit in Christ. Identify them. If you cannot identify your old sinful nature and the new nature that God wants you to have, then I challenge you to ask God to show you that so you can clearly identify the two. And when we do that, if our choice is to say, I choose to embrace Jesus and what He has for me and that new life in Him, then we learn from Him. We apply what God wants us to know. So our conduct reflects the good of God working in our life and putting off the old man, putting on the new man. Let me put it another way. I am not going to stand here and tell you who I would be if I didn't follow Jesus. If I followed my flesh and who I am, knowing my true character in the flesh, I'm telling you, I'm not going to tell you who I would be, but I know who I would be. Maybe not in the fullness, but enough to make my spirit shiver. Enough to where my heart of heart quakes. I want to be that. I want to be what God wants me to be. Number three, not only are we to look at what? Our character and our conduct, but we're to look at our conversation. Ephesians 4:29 says this, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. There's two things about this I want us to recognize. Number one, how common is it today, or however long, for filthy words to flow out of people's mouths? When I heard, I'll just say it, at that last rally with President Trump, when I heard the BS statement come out of the mouth and the whole crowd chanting BS, chanting that, I saw one man standing in the crowd, and he was like, he was about a little younger than me, maybe Tim's age, I don't know. Not much difference there. But anyways, I saw him standing, and he's looking around, and he's just like, he's not saying anything, he's just shaking his head. How much on the workplace do you hear such terrible, foul language as commonplace? It's normal. How much on the news do you hear foul language? How much in your own personal relationships do you use foul language? That's the first point. Get away from the foul language. It does not honor God. It dishonors him. But the second thing is, we're to speak those things that are good and edifying. Now, if I'm using bad language and directing it toward a person, I'm certainly not building them up. But God is saying even something more specific here. He's saying, as believers in Christ, we should seek to build each other up with words of grace, words of kindness, hearts of forgiveness and mercy, that we look at one another and we seek how to benefit the other and to build them up instead of unloading what's on our heart to tear them down. Our human nature, our sinful nature, loves unloading and tearing down others when we're mad, right? That's our sinful nature. God can make things and put it in its right place in a righteous manner. He can state things the way they are in a way that's in accordance and right with him. He can defend us. He takes care of these things. But you and I are called to have a speech of conduct that is seeking to build up one another. And I'll have to be really frank and honest with you. I'm going, boy, do I slacken that. I mean, when I get mad or frustrated, I know my first reaction. But do I take the time to stop or pause for a moment and say, God, how do you want me to react to that? I'll tell you something that God's been putting on my heart more and more, and I'm trying more and more, not always successful, is this. I know you're mad, I know you're frustrated, but take a second to ask me what to say or not to say. Ask me how you want me to respond. Or do you want me to respond? That's discipline, and it's hard. It's very hard. But God in his word says that we are to not allow corrupt words to proceed out of our mouths. But what we should do as Christians that are seeking the ways of God is to build up one another, being gracious, being kind, being forgiving, saying those good things. When I was working at Holiday Inn in Cocoa Beach, Florida, a long, long time ago, the housekeeping management, the lady was sitting there, she was a Christian, and she was at her desk, and I could tell her countenance was just down. She was done. And I sat on the front of the desk, and I forget what I said to her, but I was trying to encourage her, and she said to me, I really needed to hear that today. Thank you. A good word in due season, right, is more valuable than apples of gold on a platter of silver, as the scripture goes. It's not relative to us today. It just says that blessing. It's so valuable. And so look for ways to encourage others, to build them up. And the hardest part, God tells us, if we can control our tongue, then we can control our whole body. And you say, well, that's never going to happen. But God still has put the challenge in front of us, right? Control our tongues, and the result will be in our spiritual walk, our lives will be in better control, embracing the new person that God has us to be in him, and putting away the old man, the old person. So, we're to focus on our character, our conduct, our conversation. We're not to have worthless communication, but we're to speak that which encourages others and builds them up. And number four, the fourth thing we can look at to help us to put off the old man, to put on the new man, is kind of a strange word, but our commonality. Another word for that is fellowship. What things do we share that we have in common in Christ Jesus? Do we take the time to share what God is doing in our lives with each other? Do we take the time to pray with each other? Do we take the time to cry with each other or to laugh with each other, to be support for one another? Do we take that time because we are the body of Christ that have a common faith, a common truth of Jesus Christ who lives in us and that we are in him? And so Ephesians 4:30 and 32 says this, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor," that's chattering about in a bad way, talking behind people's back, "and even speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgives you." So look at this with me for a moment. We're to bond with one another through good works of the Holy Spirit. And we're not to grieve the Holy Spirit with wrong attitudes. Did you know that we can make God sad? When we think about God in heaven, everything's happy. But until sin and all the repercussions of sin are dealt with and put away forever, we can make God sad. We can offend God. God isn't joyful in being offended, no more than you and I are, right? And so we need to understand that we can make the Holy Spirit sad. We can make the Holy Spirit, that's God himself, have a heavy heart about a circumstance and how we're responding and how we're behaving and our conduct in that situation. We're to have attitudes that are pleasing and acceptable to God and not attitudes that are offensive to him or that make him sad. If we see our children behaving with bad attitudes, a bad mouth, or whatever the case is, as parents, we're not happy about that. We don't want that because we know that that is something that will be harmful for them if they establish that type of character in their life. So we redirect them to say, this is not the way, you need to be polite or whatever. And so God is the same thing. He sees us and we see how, he sees how we miss the mark sometimes and with a bad attitude, and he's saddened by it. Now, having said that, when we talk about don't grieve the Spirit, when we come together as believers in Christ to build each other up with good words and encourage each other, right? To help each other be what God's called us to be. If we have a bad attitude, what happens to the awareness of the Spirit of God in the church? We notice sometimes the Spirit is full in the church, don't we? We notice, boy, you can tell God was there today. God was moving. God was doing something, but we were in the presence of God. But we can tell when God isn't there. And I'll tell you, it's because of our heart. We have to keep our heart right with God. And when we do that, we please him. When our hearts aren't right with God, we grieve the Spirit of God. We sadden him. And he is not made present like he wants to be in our lives or together as believers in Christ. Our hearts are to be tender, not hard toward one another. Be tender-hearted for each other. Scripture also talks about put the needs of others before your own. Care about others' needs first. Look for the things that you know that they need before you start looking for what you need. We have to learn that character. We have to learn that practice and that discipline that reflects the character of God living in our heart. And so we need to understand that and follow that and rely on God. So let me read this over in verse 30. "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." We have a mark that's been put on us as believers in Christ. You know what that mark is? The presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, in my life. I was thinking about doing kids' time and having them come up today, and I was going to put a sticker on their forehead or their hand of a cross. But but then I realized I couldn't touch them. So, well, that's not going to work, right? So but we have a mark that distinguishes us as the people of God, and we are to be tender toward one another. We're sealed for the day of redemption. We're his forever, and he will complete his work in us. Verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Here's a test. In public, we may be able to hide those things, but how well do we speak of others at home? If you were to know and I were to know what we said about each other at home, would we be happy? I venture to say no. We need to be careful, and it needs to be reflected when we're alone or when we're in public, that our heart is true toward God and each other. We can evaluate things. We can assess things. We can come to a clear understanding of what's going on, good or bad, but we must keep our heart in check with God that it's the right attitude in dealing with those things. So putting on the new man acknowledges God's instruction, recognizing them as rays of divine light. What are the rays of divine light? It's the ways of God. It's acknowledging God's instruction, what he teaches us. When the Holy Spirit is saying, keep your mouth shut, just pray, let me take care of it. Or when the Holy Spirit reveals a truth to you through the Word. It's acknowledging God's instruction as a ray of light, because we can't know spiritual truth unless God reveals spiritual truth to us. So everything that we've learned that's spiritually true, we learn because God the Holy Spirit revealed it to us. Because in our own human nature that's sinful, we don't know the ways of God. We can't. And so put on the new man by acknowledging God's instruction, recognizing them as rays of divine light. And I'm going to close with this last scripture, Romans 12:2. What is God telling us to do? Romans 12:2. I'd have Steve quote it, but I'm not going to. So Romans 12:2 says, I'm in 1:2. Doesn't work that way. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world. That's a decision. If we're going to put off the old man, don't be conformed to this world. If we're going to put on the new man, be conformed to Christ. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let God transform our minds to be like his mind, his thinking. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you might prove, astounding, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The world looks at us and says, who do you think you are that you can say you can prove what the will of God is? God says, you let me change your mind and your heart and your ways, and I'll show you truth. And you'll be able to reveal the perfect will of God through his instruction, through his truth. God will reveal that truth to us, and we can say that is God's perfect will. So praise God for that. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do we want to live in that good and acceptable and perfect will of God in our lives? Yeah, amen. Amen for that. Excuse me? You got a testimony? Okay, let me say my last line.
Okay.
So in this new year, let us each determine more than ever to put on the new man or the new woman or that new person that God wants us to be. There's the challenge for us this year. Make a decision, see who you are, the old man and the new man, and make a decision. I want to put on the new man. That's the challenge for us this year. Go ahead.
That's actually a perfect segue into what I was going to talk about.
Good. That's why God said I had to wait.
So I have a testimony, and it's about being bold. Right now, society is telling us to stay put and kind of lock ourselves up and kind of just stay to ourselves. But That's the opposite of what God wants us to do. He wants us to launch out into the deep and go and help other people and to be bold, right. Just like that says, put on the new man. Well, really, I think there is no old man. I think that the man that God wants us to be is already there, but we need to seek him for...
That's what I was saying. Yeah.
To have him show us who that is. It's right. Our choice to seek him. So I have a testimony. About 6 years ago, I went to a men's retreat, and I've probably told this story. Maybe I haven't. I went with a bunch of men from our church in Salinas to a place called Lord's Land, and it's in Northern California. And it's this old retreat where back in the 60s, it was for missionaries to go and stay while they're in California. There's a big chapel there and a bunch of built cabins, and so we were staying in the cabins. Well, during our men's retreat, it was about putting on the armor and being a new man, kind of transformed. And during that week that we were there, God was telling me to be bold. So the last night we were there, I felt like, you know, before we went, I didn't really want to go. I wasn't interested too much in going because it was kind of far away. We had to drive, but me and my best friend went, and I brought my cajon, which is this little box here. And because, you know, each one of us, God gives us a gift, right? Some, you know, crafting, or mine is music or whatever. So God is going to show you how to use those gifts. There's some gifts that people have that you don't even know yet until you start asking God to reveal those things to you. So it was the last night we were there, and we had our last service, and we're sitting around a fire, and I'm sitting on the box playing music, and we finish, and it was a great time. And our leader that was there was talking about a lot of, had to do with what we're talking today, and it had to do with being bold. And the truth is, we're all here at church, and when we leave this sanctuary, we're pumped up and we're refreshed and we're renewing of the mind, and we go out, and maybe it lasts till after lunch. Maybe for some of us it goes into Monday and Tuesday, but after that, you get back into that rut and you're just lost. That spirit that God fills up in here doesn't go much beyond another week. So the challenge is to keep that going, to have God in your life and be bold everywhere you go and to listen to God's prompting. So here we are, it's nighttime, we get done finishing the fire. Well, it wasn't just our men's group there, there was also missionaries that were there, and they had probably at least 100 people with them. And we're walking back from the campfire to our cabin, and we walk past the chapel, and the chapel is probably as big as this, and it's, you could see, there's big windows, so as you're walking by, you can see inside. So me and my best friend are walking in, and I, their music is really good. I think they're playing like "Our God is an Awesome God" or something. But they had a piano player, a guitarist, and a singer, and the whole church was filled. Everybody's heads were bowed, and they're just in the moment. And I was walking, and I had this box in my hand, but they didn't have any percussion. So I was like, okay. God was like, hey, man, what do you got in your hand, you know? Like, they could use some percussion, you know? So I just opened the doors, and I just walked right up onto their stage. You know, there was a couple of people that were watching, and, you know, most people were just kind of in the moment. It was a really good, you could feel the spirit when you walked into that room. It was already going on. So I sit right next to the keyboard guy. He was jamming out. His eyes were closed. And the guitarist kind of was watching me, because he's watching everybody. He's like, who's this guy walking in here, you know? But I had the box, and I was like, and he's like, okay, whatever. So I sat down, and I was like, just listening to the song. And it was like, our God is an awesome. The instant I started playing, everybody was like, what in the world? You know, and they all stood up, and they just started getting, you know, it was like this crazy, just spirit-filled, like, everybody was just waiting for the percussion, you know, but it wasn't me that was, God just said, hey, man, go give them some beats, man, they need something, you know? And so I felt like that whole trip was for me to be reminded that God had already given me the gift to be bold, you know, but I need to search into myself and allow God to reveal who that person was in me. So after today's Sunday message, I feel like God prompting me again to say, at least repeat that story that I had, to remind you guys to be bold and to launch out into the deep and to be people that, you know, God's already designed us to be, but this world's just putting this blanket over this little light that's trying to shine. So rip that blanket off and shine your light to the people that need it, because there's a lot of hurting people. That's what I got to say. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. I'm scared for you. Amen. God still has a mission, and we just have to be creative on how to do it and let God be glorified through it. We're going to have music now. Come on up for music. Prayer, closing prayer. If you have a prayer need or a decision you want to make to either receive Christ or you dedicate your life or you just have a struggle in your life and you'd like prayer, come talk to me after church, and we'll talk about that in our prayer with you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for each one here. Help us to have a great afternoon. Thank you for allowing us to be in your house and to be together. But truly, Father, help us with absolute intention to seek to die to our old self and to live in our new self in Jesus. For we ask it that your Son would be lifted up and that you would be glorified, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.